eternal.
Good morning, good afternoon.
Hello.
Let us begin.
Michael.
Please join me. Good morning, good afternoon. Please join me in saying the Anabakal. Good afternoon. Anabakoach Gedula Chimincha Tati Serra Alephikimo Yitah Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kivavat Shamrem Nun Gimodalad Yud Kaf Shin Barhem Taharem Rakame Sikatcha Tamid Gamle Betet Resh Saditach Gimel Chasin Kadosh Biro Tuvcha Na'el Adatecha Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Geyeh Lamcha Penei Zofre Kedushatecha Yid Gimel Lamed Hei Zayin Kuf. The letters of the month of Elul, the Resh that created the planet Kohav, the planet Mercury, and the Yud that created the constellation Betulah, the astrological sign of Virgo. Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Ta'alumo Shin Kufav Tzadi Yud Tav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation. And we will utilize the 13 attributes of mercy for this purpose. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Berav chesed ve'ermet, notzer chesed la'alafim, noseah on wafesha, v'chata'av v'nakei. We're now going to connect to a pasuk from the Zohar that has the energy of certainty. It's Parashat Yitro, pasuk 29. And we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kutsha Barichu Ishkinte Bid Hilu Erhimud Hilu Hilu Erhimu Le'ata L'shem Yud He Bevav He P'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tanenan Dekucha Perichu Koma Diaved Leila Witata Kola Ihu Dishot Biovata Dikshot Belelach mila bialma divaye Barnash ledachya leya mineya Ulan haga beya kalana dehakulu Ovada dikshot inun wikola Itzterich bialma. The energy of the year 5778. the year of bowing, so that we can walk with Hashem. There is one verse that has the same gematria as the number of the year, 5778. It's 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayish kavi amnon vayitchal v'yavo hamelech liroto vayomer amnon el hamelech tavo natamar achoti ut laibav leene shete levivot leevre miyada. There is a second verse that connects to the energy of 5778 because it conceals within it the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. This verse is Psalm chapter 32, verse 5. Chatati odiacha vavoni lo kisiti amarti ode Ale Peshai Ladonayo Hey Wahe Iatana Sata Avon Hatati Selah. The year 5777 is the year of the goat, our present year. There are also two verses that connect to this energy. The first is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. So tzaduni katzipor ol yavai sinam. When we take the first letters of these five words, we're able to create Satskiyach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, we create Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. And this verse also conceals the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion, within it. The letters are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai yo hey wahe. Eloheichem tadibaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, has two verses also. The first verse that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lehashit et kol haolot vayechaskum achechem halevim ad kilot hamlacha Yad yitkadshu hakohanim, ki halevim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai yohei wahei la la hei wa wa wa. Yo la yo alame hey 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 ah 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 break ah ah. The second verse that connects to this energy of the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai yo hey wa hey ade ad ki biya. Yo hey Adonai, yo hey wahe, tzur olamim. The verse 57, the year 5775, has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy in the Tanakh. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. The second is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, uru, mikol hamachavoiya. Asher yitabe sham washavtem. Eli el nachum. Wehalakti item. Wechayim yeshno. Varetz vechipasti. O to bekol alfe Yehuda. The third is Job chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelo lanetzach yobed roav yomru yayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasam ti makom le'ami le'Yisrael unta ti v'shakam ta'ta v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'ne abla le'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God, and we do this by using saying the name of each letter using its root vowel. Wahe wa yo la yo sayote ala me mehe shi la la he aka aka he ta. Hey Zayo Alada Atla Awa He Hea Yozala Me Behe He Reyo He Kome La Awa Kala Yo La Wawa Pe He La Nula Ha Yo 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 Me La He 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 Wa Nuta He He A A Yo Re Ta Shi A He Re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo re ka. Wa wa la yo la he sa a la a re yo a shi la me yo he wa he wa da nu yo he he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he he wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me ta re Wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo ga me be me nu ko ayo a he be wa re a he yo be me he yo yo me wa me. And now for the 72 names of the Tzaddikim, we'll follow that same pattern using the root vowels as we say each letter. But before we do that, the name number 13, which means heaven on earth, and the name number 14, which is farewell to arms. These are two very lofty goals, to give up our arms, to stop fighting and stop disputing with each other and recognize each person's ability as a creation of Hashem, to have their own opinion, and their opinion is right for them in this part of this point in their process. And the other item of heaven on earth obviously is a lofty goal, to bring heaven down to earth, which is part of our work. And how do we achieve that? By connecting to the name number 30, which is building bridges, is the energy of this name. When we build bridges between people, when we strive to bring peace, shalom, between people, this is how we bring heaven down to earth, and this is how we say farewell to arms. And these three names connect to the energy of the year 5778. Now for the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo he anu a ke ka me ta he he yo anu da la ha la he wa he me a yo tsa la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo he wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he 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 wa nu yo he he shi ya yo re ta shi ya he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ta a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za hey she hey me ka ha wa wa la yo yo hey sa a la a re yo a la me ta hey wa hey wa da la yo hey yo she a la me nu hey a nu wa ta me la hey pe a yo nu ko me yo re la hey be hey me za re wa la he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. And coincidentally, and you know I don't mean coincidentally, name number 30 in the same location is the same name as in the 72 names of God. And it's the name, Aleph Vav Mem, that builds bridges. Learning to build bridges, reinforcing the bridges we have built. This is our task in life, in this world. And this is what we are here to do. And these names, all four of them, help us connect and help us do that path, especially in this year of 5778 that is coming. The names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 19th day of Elul. Rabbi Yaakov of Orleans, Rabbi Moshe of Orzistkov, then Rabbi Pinchas of Ostro, Rabbi Hillel of Bitkind, Rabbi Moshe Tzvi Aryeh Bich, Rabbi Chaim ben Benishti, also known as Chaim ben Benishti, Rabbi Elimelech Alter Panet, known as the Desner Rebbe, and also known as Reb Melech. Tzaddikim who left tonight, the 20th day, Rabbi Yosef Shlomo Kahanan, Rabbi Abraham ben Rabbi Naftali Hertz Sternhertz, Rabbi Eliyahu Lopian, Rabbi Moshe Aryeh Frund. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper. Today's class, can be found on the advanced Teshuvah classes. You can find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 8, the second column from the left. It's taking you to a landing page for the advanced Teshuvah classes. And if you scroll down to preparation for the Tishrei holidays, it's class 6-1, Tishrei holidays, the 23 days. This is where we left off last week. This is where we will begin today. And what we are doing here is going through these 23 days of Tishrei, starting with the Aleph, the first of Tishrei, and then to the Vant Gimel, the 23rd day. Each one of these days is a holiday, a hag, an elevation of spiritual energy. Each one has different meaning, different ritual, and as we learn these, this is what our preparation is for Rosh Hashanah and these holidays. The first day is Rosh Hashanah day 1. It starts the evening of September 20th. And the second day is the day 2, which is day 1 and day 2 are really combined together into one long day, is what the Talmud tells us. Many religious people, many non-religious people do tashlich on the second day. Some do it on the afternoon of the first day. The Kabbalists do it on Hoshana Rabbah, as we will explain. What is tashlich? Tashlich is a prayer, and the best time to pray and do tashlich is Saturday afternoon. Of course, tashlich is usually done over moving water, living water. And this type of water is not available within the walking limits of Shabbat. Then one can do tashlich on Shabbat according to the halakha. The next best time to pray is a holiday afternoon. That is why the Kabbalists delay tashlich until Hoshana Rabbah and do this over the waters of the mikveh, since they are living waters. And see more on tashlich below. There are special foods to eat on Rosh Hashanah. Kiddush, sanctification, is the recitation pronounced over wine, or grape juice, through which Jews proclaim the uniqueness of the holidays and of Shabbat. The formula on the eve of the holiday is composed of two blessings, one over the wine and the other over the holiness of the day. Following Kiddush, the blessing over bread is recited, and this is over two round challahs on Rosh Hashanah. The round shape, which is distinct for the holiday, as opposed to the traditional braided challah of Shabbat, is symbolic on several levels. First, the round shape represents the circle of life, which is apropos for the Day of Judgment. Additionally, the circle recalls the cycle of the year, since one year moves immediately into the next. Finally, the round challahs are considered symbolic of royalty, reminding one of a crown. The Kabbalists suggest that the round challot be used through the 23 days of the Tishrei holidays. Just as it is common to wish our friends, our families, and our neighbors, Lashana Tova Umiktuka, may you have a good and sweet year, so too the challahs serve on Rosh Hashanah are often made with additional honey or sugar to make them sweeter. Raisins are often added as well. To be sure of this sweet year, the Kabbalists suggest that honey be added to the first bite of challot. This custom is suggested to be continued throughout the 23 days. One of the best known and most enjoyable customs of Rosh Hashanah is the addition of symbolic foods at the beginning of the evening meal. This custom is recorded in the Talmud. Said Abaye, since you hold that symbols are meaningful, every man should make it a habit on Rosh Hashanah to eat pumpkin, fenugreek, leek, beet, and dates. While these foods are noted as being connected to fertility, abundance, and quick growth, they are also words with double meanings. For instance, the Hebrew word for dates is tamarim, which is related to the Hebrew word latum, meaning to consume. Because Rosh Hashanah is the day of judgment for all nations, the sages interpreted their inclusion on the Rosh Hashanah menu as a means of asking Hashem to increase the desire to receive of each person and each nation during this period. The greater the desire to receive, the greater the revelation of Hashem is in the physical world. And here are some suggestions for these special foods that come from various customs, minhagim. Apples and honey. A slice of apple is dipped in honey, and the blessing for the fruit of the tree is recited. Don't forget the Kavanah you have learned for all the blessings in our prayer fast. Take a bite and then recite the following brief prayer. May it be your will, Hashem, our God and God of our forefathers, that you renew for us a good and sweet year. Dates, tamarim. Excuse the delay. Dates, tamarim, from the word latum, to consume. May it be your will, Lord, our God and God of our forefathers, that our enemies be consumed. And some people eat the dates first because it is one of the fruits for which the land of Israel is known. Squash, which is kara, from the word likroa, to tear. May it be your will, Lord, our God and the God of our forefathers, that the degree of our sentence be torn asunder, and may our merits be proclaimed before you. Black-eyed peas. Hebrew word is rubia, from the word leharbot, to increase. Carrots. The word is merin, from the Yiddish word for more. May it be your will, Lord our God and the God of our forefathers, that our merits increase. Pomegranates. It is said that each pomegranate has 613 seeds, representing the 613 mitzvot of the Torah. May it be your will, Lord our God and God of our forefathers, that our merits be as plentiful as the seeds of a pomegranate. The head of a sheep or the head of a fish. Some have a custom to have the head of a sheep or a fish on the table and to say, may it be your will, Lord, our God and God of our forefathers, that we be as the head and not as the tail. A fish is considered to be a symbol of fertility and blessing, because the fish lives in keset, in water, all of its life. May it be your will, Lord our God and the God of our forefathers, that we be fruitful and multiply like fish. Nuts. On Rosh Hashanah, nuts are not eaten, since the numerical value of the word for nut, it goes, is equivalent to the numeric value for the word for ket, which is a sin. The 10 days of repentance. 10 days of tshuva. On Rosh Hashanah, God judges the world and all the people in the world, but their fates are not sealed until 10 days later on Yom Kippur. It is during these 10 days that we must present a compelling case of our worthiness to the heavenly court. These 10 days that start on Rosh Hashanah and conclude on Yom Kippur are known as the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, the 10 days of repentance. During this time, people make special effort to make amends both with their fellow humans and with Hashem. Jewish tradition teaches that there are three critical tools to make our appeal successful: teshuva, tefila, and utzadaka. And these translate as repentance. Returning the hay is teshuva. Tefila means prayer, and tzedakah is translated as charity. But tzedakah is a very unique form of charity. Teshuva, repentance, is the major focus of the high holiday season, both before and after Rosh Hashanah. During the 10 days of repentance, it is customary to scrutinize one's actions and to review the process of teshuvah that has begun or was begun during Elul, the month preceding Rosh Hashanah. Many people make extra efforts at self-improvement during these 10 days. Tefillah, prayer, is always an important element in Jewish life. But there is no time in the Jewish calendar that God is more available than during the beginning days of Tishrei. Jewish prayer is a complex, multi-layered activity. The sages refer to prayer as service, avodah, the same term used to describe the sacrificial service in the Holy Temple. However, since the destruction of the Second Temple, prayer has become our primary means of connecting with Hashem. But avodah also means work, giving something of ourselves to Hashem. But what benefit could God derive from our prayers? How do our prayers serve the divine? The Hebrew word lehitpalel means to pray. The root of this Hebrew word, palel, actually means to judge, to clarify, to differentiate, or to decide. In the reflexive form of the word, lehit palel, the subject acts upon him or herself. Prayer, therefore, is about self-definition and establishing some level of personal inner clarity. During prayer, one is able to clarify his or her relationship with Hashem and with the world, thus opening a greater channel, a clearer channel of communication with the divine. Tzedakah, charity, is an additional method one may use to seek to revise or void a negative verdict. Isn't that bribing God? No. The lifelong goal of the human being is to move closer to God. While Judaism has mandated laws about giving charity, these laws are meant to develop a person's sensitivity to those in need. During the 10 days when we seek to show God that we have grown and are striving to be better, giving charity fortifies our fundamental giving instinct. Rather than bribing God, we are actively reminding ourselves of the direction in which we should be moving, getting closer to Hashem by doing good deeds, by doing mitzvot. The next 7 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the first days of this year. No matter what day of the week it starts, there is only one of these days between the two holidays, The Kabbalists teach us that whatever actions we do on these days will be mirrored on every one of the same days of the week throughout the year. This means that the actions we do on the 3rd through the 9th of Tishrei will be reflected throughout the year on the same day of the week in each and every week. The sages suggest that we increase our Torah study, our Zohar study, our tzedakah, and our truma, as well as any good deed we can find to do during this period. It is also called the Days of Awe, as it is the last opportunity for us to finish our tshuva. Here are some actions that we suggest that will help you increase the spiritual benefit during these days of awe. Increase your truma, and especially your tzedakah. It is customary to tithe 10% of our income during the year. Many people review this and give additional amounts to reach the level of 10%. Tzedakah is given in addition to the tithing amount. The prophet Jeremiah teaches us that the giving of tzedakah saves one from death. He also teaches that tzedakah is only given to a truly poor person. A truly poor person knows that Hashem will provide for him. He truly does not care if you are the one to be a channel from Hashem for this providing for him or not. How does one know who is a truly poor person? A truly poor person never asks for a specific amount, and that is one way to know. A truly poor person never looks at the amount that one puts into their hands. A truly poor person knows that they are acting as a tool of the Creator when they solicit you for a donation. Jeremiah and his generation did not merit to find a truly poor person. But you can find a truly poor person. There's a list of potential people, and I'm going to skip this particular section, but I recommend that you read it. The Tashlik Ritual by Rabbi Bar Sadak is also recommended to be reading because it explains what is the ritual and how it connects to the 13 attributes of mercy and other aspects of cleansing your sins. I'm skipping this and scrolling down to Yom Kippur preparation. Most people think Yom Kippur is a somber day, but it's not. And this essay by the Salant Foundation helps us understand that. The prophet Isaiah admonished the assembly of Israel, the Klal Israel, for being downhearted on Yom Kippur. He asked, "Is such gloom the fast that I have chosen? Is the purpose of the day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under his feet?" What is the criticism of Isaiah? Yom Kippur is a time of judgment, fasting, and repentance. Isn't the focus of the day to reflect on one's misdeeds and shortcomings and to feel a sense of despair? No, Actually, it is not this at all. As explained in the next passage of Isaiah. In the next passage, 58:6, Isaiah explains what should take place on Yom Kippur. Isn't the purpose of this fast that I have chosen to loosen the fetters of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Let's reread those with Kabbalistic understanding. You need to loosen the fetters of wickedness. Wickedness is a code word for Satan, who captures everyone in the physical world. You have to loosen those chains that you are bound to Satan with. To undo the bands of the yoke. This is the yoke of Satan. Let the oppressed go free. This is the energy you need to escape Satan. Now and for the balance of the year. And that you break every yoke. You break every limitation that connects you to Satan. Yom Kippur is a time of liberation. It provides us with the opportunity to extricate ourselves from negativity and selfishness. If we open our hearts to the power of Yom Kippur and fill our souls with goodness and kindness, then shall your light break forth as the morning, and your healing shall quickly spring forth. What day do we celebrate Yom Kippur? Of course, it is the 10th of Tishrei. But let's see what the Torah actually says. The Torah deliberately writes that Yom Kippur takes place on the 9th of Tishrei, even though the actual date of observance is the 10th of Tishrei. By associating the previous day, the 9th, to Yom Kippur, the Torah is telling us that anyone who partakes of a festive meal on the 9th is considered if he fasted on both the 9th and the 10th. In the same spirit of the prophet, this verse teaches that Yom Kippur is a time of joy and celebration, for there is no greater happiness than forgiveness and redemption. The purpose of Avodat Hashem and repentance is true joy and delight, although certain aspects of our observance evoke remorse. This is the means, but it's not the end. Through proper appreciation and fulfillment of Yom Kippur procedure, our spirits are cleansed, our souls are elevated, and our hearts are filled with delight. The following is from the writings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. During the evening of Yom Kippur, Malchut is totally sawed from Zeran Pin. She begins her elevation towards Ima, or Bina. This is actually a repetition of the Tzimtzum, only limiting to the frame of reference for this particular year. Yom Kippur is the Tzimtzum for the year 5778, and that it's true for each year. During this elevation, Malchut takes the five Givorot, which are metaphorically the five final letters, referred to as Mansepach, with her on the rise to Ima. The Mansepach have a relationship to the five restrictions that we employ on Yom Kippur. No drinking and no food. No sexual relations. no washing, no perfuming, and no leather shoes. Well, what is it if you cannot fast because of illness? But you can change how much you eat. You can change the way you eat. All of these things add to the consciousness of limiting your physical connection. And our physical connection, according to La Kabbalah, is always to the Satan. The ninth of Tishrei has special rituals, since it is the last time that this community can do slichot together prior to Yom Kippur. It is also taught by the sages that the more we eat this day, it is like we are fasting a second day, adding to our elevation on Yom Kippur. Many people have the custom of participating in the Kapparot ritual and then eating that chicken as their meal prior to the fast. The Kabbalists refer to Yom Kippur as a day with five very large meals, as each prayer is considered a meal, as one grows from Malchut to Keter of Bina. Malchut, Zeranpin, Bina, Chachma, Keter of Bina. During the Nila service, one can access the upper worlds and create the personal year ahead for the world. The year without chaos can be visualized and then manifested. It takes two prerequisites to make that happen. One, the consciousness must be certain that this can happen, and that it can happen just from our visualizing, from our vision. And the second item, the ability to hold one thought is important in manifesting this seed image for the year. And you will be distracted, God forbid. You need to concentrate on one thought and not allow the distractions to take you away from that thought. Kol Nidre. Before I go on about Kol Nidre, I need to talk about what happens on the Erev Rosh Hashanah. On Erev Rosh Hashanah, there are two things that are different. One, you can take, we no longer play the shofar that day. The two religious explanation does not make sense. It says if we don't play it, then Satan will never know when Rosh Hashanah comes. But that's just, you know, child's imaging. The other thing that takes place on Erev Rosh Hashanah is our ability to change our vows, to disavow our vows, to have a bet din of three men or three people absolve us of any vows that we did during the past year that might affect our relationship to Hashem in this coming year. It is my plan to assist and to say that Nidarim on Erev Yom Kippur. We'll discuss that as we get closer to it. But now we're talking about Kol Nidre, which is something similar but not quite. And let us explain. When one makes a vow and does not perform it, One damages the breath, the hevel, that comes from Zeranpin to Malchut. And during these 23 days of Hagim, Zeranpin is beside, not above Malchut. To achieve Zivug or unification, it takes three items of preparation. One is a breath, one is a hug, and one is an actual kiss. To correct the kiss, one should hug the Torahs as they make their way around the congregation and meditate that Zeranpin is hugging the Nukva with Chesed and Givurah, the right and left arms. This starts the flow of beneficence from Zeranpin to Malchut. Then one should kiss the Torah and meditate that the breath is being transferred to the mouth of Zeranpin, to the mouth of the from the mouth of the Nukva. And meditate also that the merit of the Torah scroll will correct the drops of carry, wasted seed, and will elevate the light of the drops out of the klipot and back to the holiness. Also meditate the hugging of the Torah scroll connects all unfulfilled vows and oaths. Then say the verse, Or Zaruah Latzadik, which has the last letters of these words spelling the word Kra, tear up. The negativity, and elevate all of the sparks back to Yesod. Then say, U Yishrei Lev Simcha, which has the last letters with a gematria of 17, being Tov, or good. And that means Yesod becomes good due to the elevation of the sparks. We wear the Talit Katan, which is Bina of Asiyah, the night of Yom Kippur, along with the Talit Gadol, which is Bina of Bria, to represent the surrounding lights that will be elevated to cosmic Bina. This is indeed on this one night a year. We say Baruch Shem Kavod out loud on Yom Kippur. To understand this, we need to know why we say this phrase silently all other times. The word Shem is a code name for Malchut. Malchut is exposed to the Klipot, except when it elevates to Bina. We say it quietly to protect it from the Klipot. On Yom Kippur, we elevate Malchut to Bina, and thus there is no danger in saying it out loud. The 10th day is Yom Kippur. This year it's going to start Friday evening. It's actually a Shabbat, which is a great benefit. Please read this email that I sent out in a previous year. Please read it and understand it. We are out of time. Does anyone have any questions? I wish you a good week, beautiful week to all of us. We keep in mind the protection over the people in Florida, Alabama, Georgia, the Carolinas, both south and north, Tennessee and Kentucky. All of these are potentially dealing with the effects of the hurricane known as Irma. I bid you all shalom, a good week, a week of peace. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.